Israel, Am Shema Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation. The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, which comes to you transcribed from Hollywood, is a radio adaptation written by Marion Voigt and is based on the true experiences of Avner Carmi, author of the book Harp of King David. Our narrator is Richard Todd. Centuries on centuries ago, the Lord spoke to his prophet Ezekiel and said, Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you to the land of Israel. And I will put my spirit in you, and ye shall live. So spoke the Lord. And today, long centuries later, the prophecy is fulfilled. All Israel exults as grave after grave of the past is opened, and a thousand resurrections fill the land with joy and wonder. This is the story of one of those resurrections, which has added its own unique music to the music that fills all Israel today. It's the story of a piano, and of one man's search for that piano across a span of more than 30 years. It begins when that man, Avner Carmi, is a boy in Jerusalem, standing at the bedside of his grandfather, once a concert pianist known all over Europe. But now, Matthew Ionovsky is an old man, sick, and remembering many things.
Yes, I played for the King of Italy, and it was afterwards he told me of another piano called the Harp of King David.
Truly, they called it that?
For the wonder of its tone. And something else. According to legend, this piano of Siena was made of wood that came from the pillars of King Solomon's temple. Two pillars called Joachim and Boaz that were saved when the temple was destroyed and carried to Rome. Every inch of its surface was beautifully carved with cherubs and with the heads of composers from every nation. It was a symbol of peace, the king told me, and the music that unites all nations. And when he saw my interest and excitement, he promised that one day I should see it and hear it.
Did you, Grandfather?
No. I had to leave Italy soon after. I never returned. Now it is clear I never shall.
Oh, Grandfather.
Promise me now that one day you will go to Italy and see the king. Ask him if you may see and hear this piano in my stead. You will do it, Avner?
Yes, of course I will, Grandfather. Grandfather.
So many years I have imagined it. But you will hear it plain.
It was a promise Avner Carmi made, There was no thought that with this promise, he was starting on a long road towards one more fulfillment of an ancient prophecy. It was a promise that stayed in his mind as he studied the structure of pianos, learned the secrets of their tone and tuning. Following this goal, he left Jerusalem and journeyed to Germany and France to study. And when he had completed his studies and had become an expert piano tuner and maker, it was time to return to Israel, and at last the road led through Rome. Carmi hurried at once to the gates of the Quirinal.
Halt there! Yes, you! Halt when a king's guard commands you. No admittance here.
Yes, but I come on a mission. I wish to see the king.
Oh, indeed. Well, you'll never do it this way.
How then? Please tell me.
Write him a letter.
A letter? That is the way? Well, then I'll do that. I'll write him a letter at once and tell him the whole story.
Yes, you do that. Then when you have the king's answer, you come back.
But there was no reply. Disappointed, Carmi went on to Israel. There were full days now at home. There was a marriage to Hannah, the wife of his dreams. There was work, establishing the piano hospital in Tel Aviv. But the promise was not forgotten. And when he had a chance to return to Europe, once again he made sure the road home led through Rome.
Momento. Oh, wait a bit, signor. A year ago, 2 years ago, I have put just such a letter into Italian for you, have I not?
Oh, that is right, and I received no answer. Maybe
you ought to try another method. You are a stranger in Rome. You do not know that every Friday morning His Majesty visits the fish market. There he may be approached by anyone. Many go there to ask favors.
The fish market? Friday morning?
Yes.
Well, then that's it. I've only to wait till Friday. There he is, the king himself, standing like any commoner before the fish stall. Your Majesty, I must speak. Oh, I beg your pardon. It's about your father's piano, Your Majesty, made of wood from Jerusalem. Your father's piano.
Piano? Piano yourself, assassin? You think the king is unprotected even here? Here,
wait,
no!
Wait, let go of me!
Stop struggling, assassin. You're coming with me.
But I am no assassin.
Come now. The police will deal with you.
At the police station, it was clear soon enough Carmi's papers were all in order. But there was still so much talk of a piano. Was this Carmi sane?
Captain, if you please, I am in Rome with the pianist Arthur Schnabel. You understand? You know the name? Now, if you would telephone him, he would vouch for me. Arthur Schnabel, only phone him and see.
At last, the captain returned.
See, I have spoken with him, the great Arthur Schnabel himself. And what has he said? One person falls in love with the king's daughter, one person falls in love with the king's son. But Carmi, Avner Carmi, has simply fallen in love with the king's piano.
Really, it was becoming a joke by now. All this effort just to see and hear an old piano, to keep a long-ago promise. But perhaps it has happened to you, too. Frustrated again and again at achieving what seems like an easy goal, you finally become obsessed with the need to reach it. So, at any rate, it was with Carmi. Now the piano became an obsession to him. And before he left Rome, there was new hope. He met a certain Professor Leonardo, keeper of an apothecary shop, and pharmacist to the king himself.
Yes, indeed, Signor Carmi. I see the king and speak to him often. The next time I have the opportunity, I shall ask him of this piano.
It is called the Harp of King David.
As soon as I have news, I shall write you at Tel Aviv.
But weeks went by, then months. And at last, business again took Avner Carmi to Rome.
Professor Leonardo, it is I, Avner Carmi.
Signor Carmi, how good to see you again.
Oh, I'm happy to hear you say so. When you did not write, I thought he regrets he met such a pest.
No, I apologize for not writing. But it was hard to send bad news.
Bad news?
Signor Carmi, no one at the Quirinal has ever heard of such a piano as you mention. There is no piano such as your grandfather described.
Mm-hmm. a man does all he can do, and then he can do no more. In the absence of any evidence anywhere that the piano even existed, what could Avner Karmi do but return to Tel Aviv and try to forget the old dream? There was no evidence, no proof. And then, one day, he rode a Tel Aviv bus and talked idly with the friend who sat beside him.
Oh, yes, I've studied many old pianos. I saw Liszt's piano in Weimar, Chopin's in Paris, Beethoven's in Bonn, but I would hate to hear their works on such boxes.
I beg your pardon, sir.
Well, yes, sir. What is it?
I apologize for interrupting, but I could not help overhearing. And I wondered, you've seen such important historical pianos. Have you ever seen and heard the Siena piano, the one that was a wedding gift to the King of Italy?
I beg your pardon. Did you say the Siena piano?
Yes, that's right.
But I thought... Wait a moment. Where have you heard of this piano, sir?
I was reading about it just last week in the library.
Reading about it? In what sort of book?
In the German encyclopedia. Tima Becker.
Tima Becker? But wait, the bus is stopping. Never mind. I'll get off and I'll go to the library now. I'll read every book. Wait, I'm getting off.
The Tima Becker encyclopedia stretched across the library shelves in volume after volume. He read from morning till night, and when his eyes blurred, he hired a student to read as well. And then, one day, as he read through the Fs...
Ferri, Nicolino Ferri, native of Siena, carved a piano which was given to the King of Italy as a wedding gift. There it is, in black and white, proof. It is no legend, but true.
Once again, the promise he had made his grandfather was filled with the breath of reality. And of course, Hannah rejoiced with her husband. But she pleaded with him, too, not to be in such a hurry to return to Italy to show Professor Leonardo a photograph of the wonderful works. It was 1940.
But Italy is neutral, Hannah, my love.
Stay home, Avner. You have that concert grand piano you must repair.
To fix the grand properly, I need parts from Turin.
But I know. Your old dream of the king's old piano is more important to you than the children and me.
Anna, you know I would not dream of going if I thought there were danger. Don't worry. All will be well.
The next morning, Carmi left for Turin. Business concluded, he hurried at once to Rome. But Professor Leonardo was gone from the city for the day. Then Carmi had an exciting thought. In Siena, where the piano had been made, he might find further documentation of his dream. Now, once again, chance, or destiny, put a helpful stranger at his side.
So you travel to Siena, my son, even as I. I have been in orders there 25 years now. Find new marvels daily.
25 years. Then perhaps you know something about a piano which was built there by four generations of one family, the Marchiosis. Later, the city gave it to the king for a wedding gift. Have you heard of that piano, Father?
No, I'm afraid not. But wait, go to the city hall and look in the archives.
You think it would be noted?
I will take you to the city hall myself. We shall see together what the archives have to say.
And so it was, one more piece of the pattern fell in place. And Avner Karmi discovered exactly how the king's piano looked. For there, in the archives of Siena, were actual photographs of the piano. One full front, one profile. All the rich carving of garlands and cherubs showing clear and plain. Now, pausing only to take his own photographs of this evidence, he hurried back to Rome.
Professor Leonardo, you're back. Wait till you hear my news.
Signor Carmi, what luck. I have news for you. Such news.
The Siena piano does exist. It
but
is not a legend.
I know it exists. I have seen it.
I saw a photograph. You've seen it? Here? Here in Rome?
No, it's no longer in Rome. That is why no one at the Quirinal knew about it. It was moved to the Palazzo at Monza several years ago. I saw it there with the king not a month ago. Oh, if only I could take you to it, my friend. But tell me, Signor Carmi, why are you in Rome now? War may be declared any moment. My friend, you must get back to Israel at once, before it is too late.
Professor Leonardo's fears were justified. While Abner Karmi was still on the way home to Israel, Italy entered the war. Soon, Karmi found himself no longer an onlooker, but a driver in a British Army transport unit. Now, as he drove from camp to camp in North Africa, collecting discarded material and carrying it to army dumps, all pianos seemed part of another life. Then, one day, after Rommel's defeat in El Alamein, Karmi's captain called.
Karmi! I say, Karmi! Just the job for our piano expert. A musical mind, no less.
A musical mind?
Frightened the boys nearly to death when their detectors picked up a chromatic scale coming up from under the sand. Come on, I'll hop on the truck with you and see for yourself. Here we are now. Just around this dune. On this sand. Ah, there.
Looks like a tomb, not a piano. Covered with plaster from top to bottom.
That's right. And solid as concrete.
The keyboard is all right, but I cannot get a sound from the instrument.
Sand clogging the works. Want to look inside? The boys had the front off.
Good heavens, it is veritably an antique. The action is old, very old.
Well, Carmen, she's your baby now. Take her to Ordnance and see what they make of her.
Plaster piano. Boy, now I've seen everything. Okay, take her around to the dump to be burned, Carmi.
To be burned? A piano?
Got any other suggestions?
But it's a sin to burn a piano. A piano, my friend, is an expansion of the harp of King David.
But, Carmi,
it will surely play again if the sand is cleaned out. Please do not burn it. I beg you.
Abner Karmi could not bear to see any piano destroyed. That was the only thought in his mind as he pleaded for this old instrument. And he was satisfied when he saw it later, traveling with an entertainment troupe. By the odd coincidence of war, he saw the plastered piano several times. In Palermo, Sicily, as the Allies invaded Italy and Naples. But then, when Italy was finally liberated, there came a great day. The way was finally clear for Karmi to go with his friend, Professor Leonardo, to the Palazzo del Monza. The promise made so long ago was going to be realized.
Well, here we are at last, Carmi, after all these years. The piano is right here in this room, right against that wall, right over...
Pardon, signors. Perhaps I could help.
Oh, why, yes. We were looking for a piano that used to be kept in this room. A beautifully carved piano. It was called the Siena piano.
Ah, see. See, I remember it, signors. Beautiful indeed. Most beautiful. So, of course, they took it. As they took every beautiful thing.
They took it? Who took it?
The German, signor. Who else?
Taken by the Germans. It was a phrase that had spelled the end for hopes much greater than Carney's. Taken by the Germans. There was nothing more to say or do. The war ground on. Carney drove his truck here and there in Italy. Once, indeed, he hauled the plaster piano again to a dock in Naples, where the entertainment troupe was embarking for the Near East. Carney thought to hear this piano he'd saved, but the case was locked. And then, at long last, came a long leave back home to Tel Aviv with Hannah and the children.
Yes, the war news is good, Hannah. And you are right. I will reopen the piano workshop while I'm home.
This is the time to start, Abner, to be ready when the war is over.
That's right. Start the workshop, Daddy. And we have your first job for you, a very sick piano. Come, we want to show it to you now.
Right now, I must see the sick piano's mirror.
Yes, right now. Come on, it's right down the street on the sidewalk. There it is, Daddy. Right ahead there.
Here we are. And see, it is covered with plaster.
Plaster? Oh, no, it can't be.
Can't be what, Daddy?
But it is. It is my old desert pal. I'd know it anywhere.
Abner, what on earth? You know this piano?
Indeed I do, Hannah. I saved its life once when it was dug up from the sand outside El Alamein and consigned to the dump. I argued the ordnance officer out of burning it.
Really, Daddy? This very piano?
This very piano, Zmira. After that, I saw it again and again all over Africa and Italy.
Now here it stands before you again.
Truly, Israel is the land of miracles.
And now you can fix it, can't you, Daddy?
The action is gone now.
Well, yes. Yes, I know.
So all the parts that matter are gone, but all is solid plaster. Nothing hurts this. And who would want such an ugly hulk in their home, supposing I did spend months of work on it?
Daddy, don't hit it like that. It's a piano. It's still a piano with a soul all its own.
Yes, yes, I know.
You say you have saved it once already, Avner. How can you say it is hopeless?
It's a piano, Daddy, with a living soul.
All right. All right. I give up. My pupils keep the faith better than I.
You'll fix it, Daddy?
Yes, yes, I'll do my best.
Daddy, look here.
What is it, Mira?
When you hit the piano, you hit it so hard a piece of plaster fell off.
Impossible. This piano has banged around for years, and not one chip of plaster has fallen.
Just the same, Daddy. A great big piece fell off just now. And see, when you look inside the piece, it looks like the carving of a cherub.
Carving of what?
Why, Avner, it is so. The plaster shows the shape of carving. Wait, where did this piece fall from?
There, Mommy, there. See, Daddy? Daddy, what's the matter? Why are you staring that way?
That carved cherub there on the piano, it looks so like, so very like the cherubs on the photograph from Siena.
The photograph? Avner, no. You're imagining things. This old plaster-covered piano, it couldn't be.
Where are those photographs of the Siena piano, Hannah? I've got to get back to the house and get them and check. It's not possible, but still. It's not possible, but it is so. This plaster-covered piano that crossed and recrossed my path so many times. While I sought the piano of my grandfather's story, this one is the king's piano, the Siena piano made of Jerusalem wood. And here it stands before my very house in Tel Aviv. After all my searching, the harp of King David is here. Truly, Israel is a land of miracles.
There were weeks of labor ahead, removing all the plaster. But at last the piano stood revealed. The ancient sacred wood from the temple of King Solomon himself, glowing with warmth and life.
It is enough. Even though it does not play, even though the works are gone, it is miracle enough that we see it at last.
Wait, Hannah. We will hear it as well. Now I know I have spent my life learning all there is to know about building pianos. With God's help, I promise you now, the harp of King David will play again. For so the Lord promised Ezekiel, "Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you to the land of Israel. And I will put my spirit in you, and ye shall live."
And so, one more grave is opened. And a piano, like no other in the world, adds its own unique music to the glad chorus that swells from all Israel today. "And ye shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it. Thus saith the Lord."
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Maurice Turner, member of the Board of Overseers of the University of Judaism. Mr. Turner.
The Harp of King David is another of those truer-than-fiction engaging stories emerging from the war. We have heard the legend that the piano was made in Italy of wood that came from pillars of King Solomon's temple. It was destroyed in the year 70 by the Roman Titus, whose triumphal arch still stands. The final dispersal of the Jews from Jerusalem occurred with the razing of the Holy City. The experiences of Abner Carmi parallel, in a minor degree, the history of the Jews. We can well ponder on what hidden, significant forces interplayed to reunite in modern Israel the remnants of the temple and the remnants of the tribes of Judah and Israel. What miracles can and do result from man's dedication to an idea, an ideal, a promise, and an unswerving faith in its fulfillment? It required an amazing number of coincidences to concur, veritably taxing credibility, for Carmi to be able to see and hear played the harp of his grandfather's intense dream. Through countless ages, Jews have prayed that next year might see them reunited in Jerusalem, although fully cognizant of the rough and seemingly impassable road to travel before that happy event could occur. Yet the faith and determination of dedicated generations, helped immeasurably by understanding friends, fortuitous circumstances and coincidences, combined to permit, in 1948, the establishment of the State of Israel. The realization of such aspirations by men and nations in the past fortify our hope that the ultimate goal of a universal mankind may perhaps, in our generation, be achieved, if but we have the proper wisdom, the courage, the faith. But was it only coincidence, circumstance, and faith that resulted in the fulfillment of the dreams of Carmi and the Eternal Jew? How much is ascribable to a mysterious and powerful force we divine must exist to give reason, understanding, and explanation for so many things not within the knowledge of man?
Thank you, Mr. Turner. Our eternal light drama today, The Harp of King David, came to you from Hollywood and was written by Marion Voigt. Cantor David Potterman sang the liturgical introduction. Our narrator was Richard Todd. Featured in the cast were Ralph Moody, Don Diamond, Howard Culver, Jack Carroll, John Stevenson, Mark Sheeler, Bert Holland, Gene Vanderpile, and Mary McGovern. This has been an NBC Radio Network production, transcribed and directed by Andrew C. Love. The piano heard in today's broadcast was a recording of the actual Siena piano as it exists today by Esoteric Records. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Don Rickles speaking.
This is Monitor, the NBC Weekend Radio Service.